The next time you're on Interstate 80, stop in and see the folks at the Iowa 80 Truck Stop at Exit 284 in Walcott, Iowa. They're always open and ready to serve you. Enjoy a sit-down meal at the Iowa 80 Kitchen or grab a bite from one of their 9 quick-serve restaurants. You'll love their clean restrooms, huge gift store, beautiful convenience store, and, of course, the Super Truck Showroom stocked with plenty of chrome, lights, and more. While you're there, don't forget to visit the Iowa 80 Trucking Museum next door. It's free. The entire team at the Iowa 80 is very excited to celebrate 60 years with you. They look forward to being your home away from home for another 60 years. Sending you a giant thank you from Iowa 80, the world's largest truck stop on I-80, exit 284 in Walcott, Iowa. Iowa 80.
Now, it's Red Eye Radio. Gary McNamara and Eric Harley talk about everything from politics to social issues and news of the day. Whether you're up late or you're just starting your day, welcome to the show. This is Red Eye Radio.
All across America and around the planet, 866-90-RED-EYE. He is Eric Harley and I'm Gary McNamara. Welcome and good morning. President yesterday talked about who we need to keep from having guns in this country.
Like the most significant gun safety law in 30 years to help keep guns out of the hands of, help keep guns out of the hands of domestic political advisors.
So the goal is to keep the hands out of domestic political advisors, the president stated yesterday.
Are they armed?
I don't know, but I mean, I would hope that Karine Jean-Pierre, when she is there in the podium, that she's not looking down at her gun.
Yeah, I didn't know it worked that way. I thought they just advised. It's kind of scary. How many gaffes is he going to make?
This was his worst week.
Yeah.
As president.
It was really horrible.
He couldn't even read earlier in the week. It was really, really bad. I'm telling you, behind the scenes right now, there is tremendous concern from the people around Biden right now that he cannot make it through this campaign. You know, we had said in 2020, we said, well, we don't know yet. They're probably afraid of it, but we don't know. And he actually did okay in the debates.
Mm. Yeah.
You know, and but he has gotten progressively worse, and this was definitely his worst week. And I'm not saying that from a sarcastic point of view or a political point of view. It's just the reality of what's going on. Look, his family, and again, when they did the physical, they didn't do anything cognitive whatsoever. They're going to stay away from that. And his doctors are saying he doesn't need it, even though they don't check it. But I think most of America understands that this is a president who mentally, it may not be dementia, but he is definitely slowing down mentally.
Yeah.
And has a lack of focus, cannot, and I don't know, I probably won't be able to read, but it doesn't matter whether, well, this is just average what happens to people that age, whether it's dementia or not, it's that he's president.
Yeah.
And they're not willing to admit anything. Right. We said before, people say, well, you shouldn't make fun of the president because he's old. Well, they claim it's not a problem.
Right.
You have to understand the criticism and the sarcasm comes from the fact that his family and the people around him and Democrats around him say there's absolutely nothing wrong with him. He's as quick and as vibrant as can be. The public, as you can see from the polling, doesn't buy it at all. But they keep stating it.
Yep.
But after this week, I mean, it was a bad week for him. When he was up reading from the teleprompter and he was stumbling over every, third or fourth word, it was really horrible.
Yeah.
It was really bad. And so, expect that he is not going to, unless it's an extremely friendly, edited interview that he does with a softball Democrat reporter or political activist who will not ask any follow-up questions, I don't expect that he is going to do any type of serious interviews at all, that you're going to see what you see, which is when he walks from the helicopter to the White House or the White House to the helicopter, he'll walk by the press line. They'll ask a question. He'll give a one- or two-word answer, then say, what? I can't hear you. What was that? Okay, that's ridiculous, and turn around and walk away. And then Karine Jean-Pierre will say he takes questions all the time.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And no one will continue to buy it. You know, you had Jonathan Turley yesterday talk about what we've talked about, and that right now everything is Sergeant Schultz from Hogan's Heroes.
Yeah.
That
Deny, deny, deny. I know nothing.
And he made the point. He goes, that can only go on for so far because every single day it gets worse. And the public knows it. It's obvious.
Yeah.
And then with his business dealings, you know, you've got Comer out there every day almost saying, hey, he said that everything about, you know, everything that's coming out about his son's business activities is not true, not true, not true. It's true. He needs to stop lying to the American people. He needs to apologize for it. And that's where it gets bad. That got bad earlier this, what was it, over the weekend when he did that?
Mm-hmm.
When they asked him about the suspicious activity reports that came from banks. And the media is even trying to hide it. As we pointed out, we brought you the headlines and the articles and the news shows that were saying the Republicans are claiming. And it wasn't Republicans claiming it. Republicans simply were given the banking records from the Treasury Department. And there were a ton of mainstream media outlets that did not let you know that, simply said, the Republicans say they have records. Well, we know they have the records.
Yeah.
But it's
right.
Not Republican records. It's Treasury Department records that came from the banks. And, you know, you look at what really hit the fan yesterday, that his former communications director, when he was vice president, and still until a month ago, a couple of weeks ago, because I saw her a couple of weeks ago, she was on, Kate Bedingfield, assured Hunter Biden's top lieutenant in 2015 that a damaging story from a Bloomberg reporter about the family's business dealings in Ukraine would be quashed unless editors hold a gun to her head. The emails are just one more record revealing a close working relationship between Joe Biden's White House team and the family business. So not just Joe Biden, but his team knew about the relationship between Joe and Hunter. But the emails show just one more record now revealing a close working relationship between Joe Biden's White House team and the family business via partner Eric Schwerin, who was apparently cooperating with House investigators. Absolutely. Quote, absolutely. We had two conversations about it. She will only use it if her editors put a gun to her head. She absolutely will not do the second thing, Bedingfield replied to Biden's business advisor, Schwerin, about a potential Bloomberg study about Hunter's role in Burisma and another about his discharge from the Navy. Despite Bedingfield's efforts to prevent the story from being published, it appears Bloomberg did publish the story the same day as the communications. The Bloomberg reporter, is now managing editor for politics at Axios and a CNN political analyst. Bedingfield, meanwhile, departed the White House just recently, just as the House Oversight Committee probe into Joe Biden heated up. So, again, that's another indication that not only did Joe Biden know about his son's business activities, but his team knew about it, knew at least parts of, knew that Biden had a relationship with, with Hunter Biden, because his team was responding to questions on it. While he was vice president, understand, this all starts when he was vice president. The influence peddling started then. Because initially when the story came out, it was like, well, no, this was when he wasn't worried. This is when he wasn't vice president.
There were concerns back during the Obama years.
Yep.
And now this is more proof of that.
And so this isn't, it's not going away now. And, you know, I don't care what Trump is going through, whatever happens in the other investigations on him,
mm-hmm.
Biden is the current president.
Yeah.
The stories are not going to go away. The public believes that Biden's family has enriched itself through Biden's political career. This isn't going anywhere because nothing goes his way. And as more evidence comes out, even when it doesn't come from Republicans, even when it comes from his own Treasury Department,
yeah,
it's still the Sergeant Shultz defense. We don't know anything about it. It's not true. I wasn't involved in any of it. I didn't know anything about it. And all the evidence shows the president lies every day. The reason it isn't a bigger story is because the mainstream media press is okay with it.
Well, at some point, you know, as these stories get bigger and bigger and more numerous, then the media quits going to Jean-Pierre. They quit asking Biden. But the curiosity only builds. In order to write your story, if you're going to put a story together on this, you're going to have to find sources, right? Typically, they've gone straight to the White House. The White House gives them the spin. Okay, we can write this. Boom, they put it out, and it's over. Well, the White House is saying nothing. And they're saying nothing ever happened. And the president knows nothing. Well, that leads the media to go do their own work.
Well,
you're not
know.
Giving them any spin whatsoever. I really feel the turn, you know, we talked about it this week, but I feel like the turn is coming again. The polls show. The majority of Democrats don't want him to run. But then with the Monmouth poll on job approval for him and the vice president, the liberal media was all over that yesterday. And it's interesting because it seemed to get echoed more than I thought that it would.
In liberal circles,
in liberal
that
circles.
Did. Yeah, I agree with you on
and
that.
And so
it
feels like, and who knows, maybe it's not, but it feels like, it seems like this week there's been another turn and there's more of a calling for him not to run, and they also don't want her.
Well, we mentioned that the story from The Nation, the country's longest liberal publication out there, bringing, was it 9 different liberals who are all saying this president shouldn't run.
Right.
The polling numbers going down, and you made a point to me earlier when we were talking about this off the air, that not only is it, oh man, Biden's numbers at the lowest ever, and then the next thing out, even from a liberal, you know, the liberal point of view on social media was, and Harris's numbers are even worse.
Right.
Then you saw the story in the New York Post that Biden isn't happy with Kamala Harris's performance.
Right.
That she should be bailing it out. This is how bad the Biden administration is. They're actually under the delusion that part of the problem is Kamala Harris should be handling more of the responsibility and solving problems.
Right.
This is all delusional.
Well, it makes you wonder.
Angry because she's not.
Right. It makes you wonder, does Biden think he bailed out Obama?
That's a good point. No.
You know, because, you know, look, he was certainly a credibility drain on Obama, in my opinion.
Yeah.
You could apply that even if you're on the left. You could say that and say, oh, no, he wasn't a great VP. And now, and again, part of that was the buzz surrounding his son's business dealings. And it never took off because, you know, Obama was president. All right. It's not going to go anywhere just yet. Well, now it is, and it's going back, and more evidence comes out. There's only so long you can deny it. Actually, the president can keep denying it. The media is not going to keep ignoring it. That's what has changed.
Well, and one of the things is you saw it with the blow-up, not this week, but last Friday, last Thursday with Karine Jean-Pierre, mm-hmm. when she said that he won't answer your questions, and they were screaming. He doesn't answer the questions, and then he came out that Friday with the Irish Prime Minister and just answered no questions, none, right. and they were ushered out of the room. There's a fury that exists in there. There was a one reprieve when that one reporter was the scorn of other, you know, the other members of the White House press mm-hmm. corps, some members, mm-hmm. because, you know, he was saying, I've been here for 7 months, never been called on once. What's going on? You pick the reporters that are your favorites.
Right.
And so he was criticized for being out of line, and that took the heat off of her for a couple of days. Mm-hmm. But it's still, you know, she's horrible, he's horrible, and I really think that because we thought Karine Jean-Pierre would be gone by the beginning of the year, and now I think they realize that, look, she just doesn't answer the questions, and everybody knows it. We can't get anybody better. We might as well put somebody out who seems incredibly incompetent.
And let that be the story.
And let that be the story. Well, we'd communicate it better, but the person who communicates it sucks, and Biden can't communicate anything. Right. But we're really doing a great job. We just can't communicate it effectively.
Yeah.
Seems to be their default position.
Yeah.
It's not a good one, but I think it's the one that they've chosen.
Yep.
I think they've actually thought we cannot do better than Karine Jean-Pierre.
Right.
And then when you're trying to defend the stuff, even Kirby can't do it. So it really doesn't matter who's out there.
No, you can make the argument that it's probably more difficult for Kirby than it is for her because she doesn't have the experience. She's not competent anyway. So really, for Kirby, I don't know how far you have to go to try and answer a question with his level of experience. I'm not saying he's good at his job, but you might as well just let her do it.
866-90-RED-EYE.
Hi, I'm Jen Loomis, a transport safety expert at J.J. Keller, and I'm here to share a tip on compliance, safety, accountability. At the core of compliance, safety, accountability, or CSA, is FMCSA's Safety Measurement System, or SMS. The SMS uses 7 safety improvement categories called basics to examine a carrier's on-road performance and potential crash risk. The categories of basics are unsafe driving, hours of service compliance, driver fitness, controlled substances and alcohol, vehicle maintenance, hazardous materials compliance, and crash indicator. Under FMCSA's old measurement system, carrier performance was assessed in only 4 broad categories. Violations or crashes that have occurred within the previous 24 months of performance data are included in CSA calculations, but more recent events are weighted more heavily than older events. Violations or crashes that have happened within the past 6 months are weighted 33% more than events that occurred 6 to 12 months ago. And violations that are older than a year are weighted 66% less than recent violations. This allows a carrier to improve their CSA score gradually as they see fewer and fewer violations. This tip was brought to you by J.J. Keller & Associates. Visit us at jjkeller.com.
Get in touch with Red Eye Radio, toll free at 866-90-RED-EYE.
And now for a segment called Just Something I've Noticed, brought to you by our friends at Motel 6. Just something I've noticed. Bargain hunting is back. I mean, bargain hunting's always been around. We always love a great deal. But man, everywhere you look, people are bargain hunting. You know, there's so many great ways to find great deals. Hey, I have a great find in your bargain hunting journey. Book online at motel6.com. Use the code CPREDEye to get 15% off your stay at Motel 6 or Studio 6. With almost 1,500 locations across the country, there's almost always a Motel 6 or Studio 6 nearby, and truck parking is available at most locations. Enjoy a clean, comfortable room at a price that's a real bargain when you use the code CPREDEye. That's the letters CPREDEye, all one word, for 15% off your stay at Motel6.com. That is a bargain. That's just something I've noticed. Brought to you by Motel 6.
Afford Anything talks about how to avoid common pitfalls, how to refine your mental models, and how to think about how to think.
Paula, while certainly you can mess up on $1 million a year, it is far less likely than it is on $30,000 a year.
Right.
I would meet wonderful people that were struggling with a budget that was super tight. It was 100%. You need to make more money.
Make smarter choices and build a better life.
Afford Anything, wherever you listen.
It's Red Eye Radio. He's Eric Carney, and I'm Gary McNamara, 866-90-RED-EYE. We've talked about this a lot this week. We'll talk more following the bottom of the hour, but I just want to read the first sentence from Wall Street Journal. And, you know, we've talked about, remember how some of the Democrats were talking about, do we need censorship of social media when there's a bank crisis?
Mm-hmm.
So there's not a run on the bank. And we said, right. Well, if you actually want to not cause panic, shut up the people in the Biden administration. Like Janet Yellen. First sentence. Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen on Thursday walked back her comments from the day before about providing de facto guarantee on all U.S. bank deposits. She's a Treasury Secretary and has changed the story 3 days in a row.
Yeah. Yeah, this is insane. Yeah.
On your smart speaker, say, play Red Eye Radio. And if you're really nice, she might. Red Eye Radio.
And he's Eric Carley, and I'm Gary McNamara, 866-90-RED-EYE. Before we get to the Janet Yellen stuff from yesterday and this week, which has just been a complete mess. We were talking about the polling that's being done, and you asked a great question. Is there another turn? And I sort of agree with you. I did sense over the last couple of days a turn again from Democrats going, maybe Biden isn't the guy and Harris isn't the guy, or Harris isn't the candidate to be, to be our candidate for the nomination. And you sensed a little bit of panic with the poll that came out yesterday. And then this story came out. The New York Post had it. Two former White House officials said President Biden is frustrated with Vice President Harris's performance, even if he remains committed to keeping her as a running mate in the 2024 election. The 80-year-old Biden, who has gone out of his way to praise Harris in recent public remarks, reportedly has griped about his number two reluctance to take on risky assignments. A point of tension in their relationship is that I don't think that the president sees her as somebody who takes anything off of his plate due to a fear of messing up, one former White House official told Reuters. Another White House official told the wire service that Biden, already the oldest president ever, intends to seek a second term, in part because he's concerned that Harris may not be able to beat Trump, who is seeking the GOP nomination. We never think of the possible infighting that's going on.
Well, you know, I've talked about how I think that Biden is probably on the inside defiant to everybody, but this is a different type of political infighting and something we hadn't considered before, and that is Biden is thinking naturally that if he's not going to run, that she would be the choice, that she would decide to run, which means that she would have to be the nominee if there's no one to primary against her, then she's going to be the nominee, and he's worried she can't beat Trump. Well, we kind of always went further and said, well, they don't want her. They don't want him. They also don't want her. But Biden is thinking in terms of, well, they're not going to leapfrog over her.
This is how bad it is. Then a third former White House official defended Harris, however, and pointed to her role in advocating for legal access to abortion after the Supreme Court decision last year.
I'm sorry. That was supposed to be an achievement?
Yes. That's how bad it is. Well, no. She's great because she said something against something.
Well, hopefully she posted on Twitter where it's really meaningful and proves that she's doing a great job. What in the world? Seriously. No, see, she actually said something about something. Okay, is it so bad that if she takes a position on something, then it's actually the strongest thing she's ever done?
Author Chris Whipple, an expert on West Wing staffing, wrote in his book, The Fight for His Life, released in January, that Biden considered Harris to be a work in progress. The president vented to a friend about Harris in 2021 after he got word that her husband was complaining about the tasks assigned to her, including mitigating migration and pushing for a federal voting rights law. Whipple wrote, Biden was annoyed, the book said. He hadn't asked Harris to do anything he hadn't done as vice president, and she begged him for the voting rights assignment. Biden selected Harris, the first female and second non-white vice president, as his running mate in 2020, despite a tough primary in which she blasted him for opposing federally mandated desegregation through busing students at different school districts. That little girl was me, she told Biden during the 2019 debate. First Lady Jill Biden reportedly, was so angry about the exchange that she told supporters after that Harris should go F herself.
Wow. Okay.
But you and I burst out laughing, you know, because you think about it, Biden angry at Harris when he said, your job is to find the root causes of illegal immigration. We said it at the time. He's hanging her out to dry.
Yeah. Totally throwing her under the bus.
There's nothing. We always knew there was nothing coming from that. It was just he could always blame, if it came down to it, he could blame that Harris isn't doing, I appointed her to do it, and she didn't do her job. And we even stated at the time, this may be because we knew that they really didn't get along well. We knew the stuff between them. And we just went, is he giving her a job that is
impossible
in order that he can blame her later on for it, and then pick another vice president and, you know, use her as the scapegoat for what's going on in illegal immigration?
I think that's the case. It's because there's nothing he was going to do about it.
Right.
And so he just blames it on her.
Right.
Now, you know, man, seriously, fly on the wall.
Oh, I wish.
A fly on the wall.
I wish.
I'd give almost anything to be a fly on the wall because I'd want to know, all right, well, did he expect her to, I don't know, go out and make more speeches about the border, or what is it that she didn't deliver on? Because she didn't do anything. There was nothing from her on the border.
Well, I just like the one advisor that said, well, she did such a tremendous job after the Supreme Court decision. She went out there and said, I think the Supreme Court is wrong.
Right.
Oh, wow, what a job.
She said the same thing that millions of others said. Right. That makes her great at her job. Wow. But seriously.
Well, if you look throughout history and the history of women and how important the history of women is to the history of women.
And the history of history.
And the history of history.
In all of history.
In all of history. Yes, exactly. Then you would understand that looking at it from a historical perspective.
Yes. Throughout history.
Throughout history.
Oh, at man. The history of, and history's history.
Just terrible, but I just, you know, that actually is a funny article.
What
there.
Do you think, what did anybody think she was going to be capable of?
Right. If he's angry at her for that, what precisely is he angry about? You told her to go out and find the root causes of illegal immigration.
Yeah.
The root causes are you, Mr. Biden.
Yeah, yeah, it's you.
You're the root cause. As we said back then, you're the root cause. In order for her to solve the problem, she has to come back to you and say, you're the root cause.
And she just holds up a mirror. There you go. It's you.
And so he gives her a job that's impossible because the root cause is him.
Yeah.
And then he's angry at her for not solving the illegal immigration problem that he caused, is what they're trying to get us to believe.
He wanted her to take the heat off of him. That was never going to happen.
She is a victim of Biden.
That's right. How dare you? But what's interesting is he's worried that she wouldn't win against Trump. Well, she wouldn't be the nominee if he doesn't run.
Yeah.
If they make her the nominee, you have to remember, she was the first major candidate that dropped out. She dropped out in early December 2019. She didn't even make it to 2020. So that's, you know, that tells you where the donors were, where, and it's even worse now. The Monmouth poll on job approval is bad for him, but it's really bad for her.
Yeah. Yeah. The Associated Press, too. She was.
Yeah.
And that was really the talk of Democrats yesterday.
Yeah.
It was really interesting.
It just seems like there is momentum building and they're all reconsidering this, going, okay, look, we can't do this now. We can't have him.
And remember,
for another 4 years.
When she had to drop out, see, Democrats, we have long memories. When she dropped out, remember who she blamed. It was the racism and sexism of Democrats.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
As to why she had to get out.
Right.
Well, because she's a black woman and
yeah,
you did not support
right.
her. Therefore, you're race Democrats. You are racist and sexist for putting Biden in office.
That's right. That's what she said. She didn't say Democrats, but it's the primary. It's right. Democrats.
Yep.
Now,
and being from the Democratic state in California, she's expecting reparations. She mm-hmm. wants part of that $5 million.
I guess she'll get it.
Yeah, exactly.
But here's the question. Who in the party wants to come in and clean up Joe's mess?
Now, you brought that up yesterday, which was a great – that was a great – who wants to come in right after Biden as
so
a Democrat?
Let's just imagine that Newsom is the rock star. I don't think they – have a rock star anymore. I don't think they care about rock stars anymore in the same way. But let's just say he is. Does he want to come in and be responsible for cleaning up Biden's mess? Because what are you going to do to turn it around?
Yeah, because your legacy...
You're not going to change.
Your legacy is based that a Democrat before you made such a mess that you're fearful you'll be a one-term president.
Right. And you're not going to come in and change a lot of the fundamentals of what he did. So you're really not going to change the economic fundamentals.
Just want to bring this up real quick before we get out of here this week. And this is a whole thing on Janet Yellen. And this is Democrats. And remember, it was Kelly from Arizona. And then another Democrat brought it up, too. That was that after the bank problems, he said, well, this is the first bank that the run was based on the fact of what was said on social media. Because of the misinformation. My God, if you want to look at what caused a lot of the panic, it was exactly the behavior and the things that the federal government said, including Janet Yellen. Wall Street Journal pointed it out, saying Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen on Thursday walked back her comments from the day before that walked back her remarks the day before about providing a de facto government guarantee on all U.S. bank deposits. Who's on first? The administration's mixed signals are becoming another threat to the financial system. Here it is. On Tuesday, she said protecting uninsured depositors over $250,000 could be warranted if smaller institutions suffer deposit runs that pose the risk of a contagion. Yet on Wednesday, she told the Senate that she had not considered or discussed blanket insurance or guaranteed in deposits. She knows she doesn't have the authority to guarantee all deposits without the approval from Congress, which may explain her flip-flop.
Yeah.
After bank stocks tanked, she did a U-turn again and told the House on Thursday that we would be prepared to take additional actions if warranted. So now no one is sure whether uninsured depositors will be covered, other than that the giant banks have been deemed too big to fail.
Well, you know, when they muddied the waters, I didn't expect it to be this kind of muddying the waters, but she single-handedly has sent the market now running in circles, chasing its own tail. Because nobody knows. She's responding one day. She only responds. And she's
reacts.
Not. Yeah, that's it. So each response is in the other direction.
It's almost like every day she puts up a trial balloon. I'm going to say something, see how the markets respond, and then we'll say the opposite the next day, and then see how they respond.
And now the markets don't know where to go.
Yeah.
Well, okay, so what does that mean? Are we good or no? And if she said something today, how do you believe it?
866-90-RED-EYE.
We'll be right back with more Red Eye Radio with Eric Harley and Gary McNamara.
It's Red Eye Radio. He's Eric Cronin. I'm Gary McNamara, 866-90-RED-EYE. Well, the grand jury doesn't meet in Bragg's district, doesn't meet today.
Right, right.
So it meets Monday, Wednesdays, and Thursdays.
Right.
And so there's nothing coming up unless they decide to disband the grand jury because there's no charges for anything.
Yeah, I guess, right?
Yeah, but we're not going to hear anything until at least, you know, Monday or Tuesday. What a mess that is. What a mess that's turned into. And again, all of our criticisms where we were in this perverted sense of awe, I know especially I was in the beginning of this week saying, nothing makes sense, nothing makes sense. You got to be delusional to do something like this. Well, it turns out, in all likelihood, he's delusional.
Yeah. And now with Costello coming forward and everything else,
The letter
that the Post, New York Post, printed on Wednesday, it just took all the wind out of any sails he had to begin with.
This is Red Eye Radio on Westwood One.
The Bigger Pockets portfolio of podcasts are worthy of your investment.
We're having a real conversation as real estate investors.
New episodes available every day.
It's important to buy where it makes money and not necessarily where you want to travel to.
Bigger Pockets, On the Market, Rookie Real Estate, or Money Podcast.
The purpose of flipping is to create more cash so then you can reinvest into other types of properties.
The Bigger Pockets Podcast, on YouTube or wherever you listen.
Welcome to Talkville,
the ultimate Smallville rewatch podcast. Guest star Sarah Carter as Alicia Baker. Although I didn't really work with her a lot. But Tom did, and they had some real big smoochy scenes.
Yeah. Should we talk about that?
Could there be any more sex? What was a three-page makeout scene that just kept going? Good Lord! We get it! They have chemistry!
Jump in now or catch up on any of the past seasons of Talkville on YouTube or wherever you listen.